Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Thank you, Tom and Sandy. I appreciate that. And keep pastoring Sharon in your prayers. And, I'm always excited. And I really mean this, not just for the fact of just when the dog's away, the cats will play. But I really do. I think it's wonderful when Pastor and Sharon get away. They, as you know, they live and breathe ministry. And it's not just here. They go home, and it consumes their conversations. It's everything they talk about, and it's who they are. It's in their DNA. It's their blood work. It's everything. And because of that, many of you know they're on the phone with you at their home, early morning, late at night, you name it. And so when they get this opportunity to get away like this and get refreshed, I'm thrilled. I'm joyous for them that they get this opportunity. And I joke with Miss Sharon when they leave. Always, I said, I hope that Grumpy will come back joyful. And so we joke. Pastor usually smiles at me, and he knows. Him and I are very much aware. We talk all the time. I was telling Thomas yesterday, it's like father and son. It really is. We share everything with each other, and we share pastoral ministry with each other, talk with each other, our struggles. And I'm so thankful I have a pastor like that I can grow close to, and he's mentoring me in ministry. And I do. I love him to death. I give my right arm for him in a moment. And so I hope today that just as his desire is each Sunday is that you'll find it truly was worth the drive to be here, and that I will not let you down through the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to you. And at the end, but be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for them for safety as they travel back. I do look forward to when they always get back, and I miss them when they're gone. They're a lot of fun throughout the week here in the offices, and I just wish you knew the half of what I'm saying. They are a lot of fun to listen to, interact with each other and such. It's good stuff. But anyway, hey, have you ever broken something? And you're like, well, yeah, sure, we all have. Yeah, we've all broken something. We just have less patience when it's someone else or another person has done it, but that's a whole other message, okay? Some things are a simple fix. I personally love Gorilla Glue. How many love Gorilla Glue? I love Gorilla Glue. I only wish Gorilla Glue would have been around when I was doing due diligence with my grandmother's glass bells and so forth that she had when I was younger. I could have hidden a lot more things. But nevertheless, I love Gorilla Glue. We fix everything. Well, let me start over. We try to fix everything. Okay, we try to fix everything. We've got Pinterest and YouTube to show us how. If you've used YouTube in the last 30 days to fix something, raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Get those hands up there. Absolutely. YouTube is my best friend. It helps me look fantastic to my wife, okay, and everything. And, of course, you know how it is. You fix it, but you don't tell you got it off YouTube. You just say, hey, look what I did, okay? Because the truth is, we take pride. We take pride in restoring something to its original glory and go, hey, look at there. And she thinks I'm wonderful. I get a kiss. Everything's good, okay? And you know how that works. Our house, everybody's house, has broken things. Our kids break lots of things, okay? And puppies break things. No, I'm sorry, I'm not using the right word. They destroy things, okay? And my children always say, honey, oh, can we get a puppy? And I knew what it was going to be like. We did. We got one back in December, beginning of December. And I said, I know what goes into this. Yeah, I know that thing only cost about $200, but he's going to eat $500, you know? I know what happens. And it did. Well, I'm just seeing things digested left and right, just going out the door and so forth. It is calming down. But I tell you what, puppies destroy things. Kids break things. Our house has broken things. Sometimes it is our pride that gets broken, along with skin and bones. I was reflecting on this, and I was remembering a story many years ago when we were in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was in college, and Amber was putting hubby through, and she was working for Bob Jones University, and nevertheless, we throw rollerblades on. We throw rollerblades on. She already knows where I'm going with this. She's like, I know where he's going with this. And our driveway had a decline. All it depends on how you're coming direction. Incline. In this trip, it was a decline, okay? It went down pretty good, okay? And it was broken concrete, pebbles, and it just, varying types of things. We could just tell some kind of threw a driveway together, kind of that kind of thing. But hey, it was cheap rent, so we went with it, okay? Nevertheless, we get the rollerblades on. We step out the house, and we kind of forgot that we had to get down to the road. And my wife says to me, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me do it. I say, you stay here. Let me get down to the bottom. I'll get down to the bottom, and then you can see what I did, and you can then come, and I'll be there for you. So I, being the man that I am, took it with great courage, and I headed down. Halfway, maybe at best, before I took flight. And let me just say, I'm hitting the ground, bouncing the ground, boom, bam, get down to the end of the driveway, and I'm down there in pain, skinned knees, I'm just an absolute mess. And you know what? I look up and say, don't come, stay right there. You know, as years gone by, I look back at that. I'm sure she was at the top of the hill going, oh, where can I go? Where can I go? Me. No. I don't think I needed to say that, but I, in ignorance, said, don't come. You say, what was hurting? Knees were not even the half of it. I didn't feel my knees. My pride. I was greatly embarrassed, let's just say. Man, have you ever been there? Like, not that we're going to admit to you. Oh, appreciate it. Some of you are honest. I appreciate that. Okay, very good. Yeah, we tend to start doing this in 5 years old, and we try to impress women, try to do different things, be the man, and we end up hurting ourselves, and we break our pride. Our pride gets broken. You know, broken things are a part of life. They just really are. Broken things are a part of life. However, I really believe, in all truthfulness, that broken things are meant to remind us of something. Or more importantly, someone. Everything man makes breaks eventually. What God does lasts forever. But sin has broken us, and he gets the glory for restoring us. This morning, as we get looking at this, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I want to talk to you with just a simple question. This simple question, you're going to hear it several times in this message. When were you last broken? I know you may hear that and go, oh, you mean like bones? Well, I hope at the end of the message, I'm sure you'll see exactly what I'm asking. Some of you already know. But when were you last broken? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I was in some study time, did not see, you know, you pray in advance, Lord, what would you have me to preach on that particular Sunday? Show me what you'd have. And then you just get going. You stay in the way. What I mean by in the way is you stay just walking with the Lord. You do your devotions day after day, and he brings it to you. He directs your steps, and he guides you in what you should preach on. And, you know, I was in this verse, this particular chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I came across, I'm going to read it to you here, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Think about those words there. The part, now obviously this entire verse is fantastic, and there's much to be digested from this scripture, and we could really study it and really study it and just expound on it and have several messages off of it, because there's so much here for this. But what the Holy Spirit drew my eyes to was the phrase, for he hath made him to be sin for us. When my attention was drawn to this, it caused me to sit there and go, wow. He hath made him to be sin for us. What he took on for me. And so oftentimes, if you're a Christian, you come in here and pastor says, I'm going to share the gospel this morning. Maybe you went through Easter Sunday. We all know he went over the gospel last Sunday. Maybe you thought to yourself, I already know the gospel. I've already trusted Christ, my personal Savior. You know, this message is kind of like him hawing. I'm having a hard time focusing because I've done that. But you know what? No matter what trouble you're going through, no matter what trial you're dealing with, for me, and what God's word wants us to see always is, if you're depressed, go back to the gospel. If you're struggling with some form of addiction, go back to the gospel. Even if you know Christ, you're saved, go back to the cross. Go consider the power that came from that situation, from him dying to him rising again, and all that goes into all that, not just simply, yeah, he died. No, there's so much to, and he died. What goes into all that? We're going to see that here this morning. Why don't you turn over to Isaiah 53. When I got considering those words, for he hath made him to be sin for us, and I reflected upon that. I thought about what Christ went through on our behalf. I want you to turn to Isaiah 53. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I want to dive into this passage here in Isaiah 53, a passage many of us are probably even familiar with, but we're going to look here a little bit more in depth at this particular passage, all right? Let's have a word of prayer as we look at Isaiah 53. Lord, I do thank you for giving me this opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that you would just open hearts, Lord, that they would be willing to see what you'd have them to see, Lord, for your honor and your glory alone. In my name I pray. Amen. You know, we saw in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he bore our sins legally, okay? He was made sin for us. Legally, he took our sin away. He took our sin away from us. But we see here in Isaiah 53, look at verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, I got looking at this, naturally you've got to break down, well, what are griefs? What are sorrows? Well, we see here that he was definitely broken for our sin. Taking that passage in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he became sin. He became broken for our sin, that we deserved the being broken. But he was broken for our sin. And in what ways? Well, number one, it says that in verse number four there, surely he hath borne our griefs. Griefs is, when you go looking at it, ultimately, and I'm really summing it up, it'd be great if you did a study on this yourself, to finding out a little bit more in depth of what that's talking about. Several commentaries have some good insight on that. But ultimately, physical pain. Ultimately, physical pain. He dealt with a lot of physical pain. From the moment that he is slapped and spit upon and mocked there in the temple, as they are judging him unrightfully, okay? He didn't deserve that. They were doing it at a wrong time, doing it wrong, and everything was wrong about it. And the physical pain begins, and as we know, continues with many other things to follow, with the crown of thorns and just many other things that go into leading to the cross, okay? Grief, physical pain. He also took on sorrow, the emotional pain. Have you ever been left someplace, maybe as a child, and you wonder, where'd my parents go? That brings a lot of emotional pain to a child, okay? That brings a lot of emotional pain to a child when you're left someplace or you think you can't find your parents. It brings a lot of emotional pain to a parent who can't find their child. We deal with emotional pain day in and day out oftentimes because of things we're facing and trials we're facing. And so you know what emotional, many of you know what emotional pain is. That can lead to physical problems. Well, that's what we're talking about here when we're looking at the sorrow, the emotional pain that he took on from bearing all of our sin, and not to mention, as we know, having his own Heavenly Father turn his back on him. Having such a great relationship with his Heavenly Father, and yet to go through this process, he had to have his own Father turn his back on him because his Father can't look on sin, and Christ took on all our sin. What is even grab my attention even more when you look at this. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet look what the people did. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I mean, what pride and arrogance in their life that they considered him to be suffering for his own sins. They are actually looking at everything he goes through, willing to take Barabbas and, no, get rid of him. We want him. You deserve what you get, they say to Christ. They look up at him at the cross. And what incredible love of Christ to look down, and he knows that the majority of people are going, he's getting what he deserves. He's getting from God what he deserves. And what does Christ say to these people who are so ignorant and proud? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They are so full of themselves, so ignorant, so proud. They think they have it right. Bring that into common data here. You know what? That's us people. That's us right there. We were a part of those people. We think we're okay. And we're constantly going, God, why did you? God, we're mad at him. We think he's the one. He's the problem, not us. I can't possibly be the problem. What grabbed my attention in verse 10? Look down there, please. Yet it pleased, get this, this is incredible. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When I read that that morning, I said, let me tell you something. If my son is being treated in a very unfair way, and he is bloodied and everything else, I'm not thinking I'm pleased. So something had to be going on in the heart of God for him to look down and go, this pleases me. This pleased you? To bruise your own, this pleased you? What do you mean by this pleased you? When you got looking into it, you consider, well, what came from it? That's what pleased God. What came from? He's got a son who's willing to submit and obey. That pleases God. He's got a son who's willing to fulfill the Father's mission of redeeming sinful man. That pleases God. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. That's my verse. My son fulfilled it. That pleases me. He looked down. He said, that pleases me. I said, Lord, how can I equate this? Even in some way equate what you must have thought, what you must have gone through. And one of the first things that came to my mind is a soldier coming home. Not alive, but in a casket with a flag over it. And a father looking down. He loved his country. I'm so proud of him. So proud of what he's done for his country. A father whose heart grieves. I miss my son. And there's no doubt God the Father missed his son for a time when he had to forsake him. But you say, what would make a father? He loved me. He loves you. Grab a hold of that. He loves you so much that he was willing to go through those moments of being distanced from his son, whom he loved more than anything, and said, I'm proud of you, son. When that grabbed a hold of me, I thought, Lord, what are you wanting from me? We see that Christ's brokenness pleased his Father. Psalm 51:17, you don't necessarily need to turn over to there. Let me just read it to you. The sacrifices of God. What's pleasing to God? You say, I want to give something over to God. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing you can ever give God, it says right here in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. The word contrite means the idea of crushed or collapsed. You're so mindful of your sin. You're so mindful of your guilt and what you deserve. You know your very breath. I don't deserve life right now. That's what God wants to see in man. A humiliation and sorrow for sin. I remember there was a time when I used to preach, when I was beginning preaching, and I used to share about my past, and I would spend this much time on my past sharing about all the things that I did wrong, and I would spend this much talking about. But God redeemed me. God got me and brought me back to him, and my loving, I don't know if it was fiance at the time or wife, but she came and goes, you know what? She goes, I just want to mention something. You seem to give this much time to this and this much time to God in your message. Who's being glorified? I was riding along in the car and I thought, ouch. That was good. And then I saw it after that going, woman, you're not allowed to ever talk again. No, I didn't say that. No, I appreciate it. I've always gotten that out of my wife in a loving, respectful way. She just, can I bring this to your attention, something to think about? And it is. It caused me to stop and go, wait a minute. It needs to be the other way around. Bringing glory to God and what he's doing. God wants you to have humility, service, and don't talk about it, but rather, when was the last time you were broken over your sin? What a sad thing to constantly read the word, hear the word in your local church, maybe family devotions, maybe your own private time, maybe hearing a message over the air because you're listening to it online or over the radio or something or a CD or whatever. What a sad thing to constantly read the word and hear the word, yet no brokenness. It doesn't move you. I want you to see in James chapter 1, if you turn over to James chapter 1 for me, please. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Forgive me, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about an illustration right now that my son, oh my, Josiah. That boy, if he could come to church in his PJs and his hair all disheveled and so forth, I'm telling you right now, he wouldn't think anything of it. He would not think about it. He would walk through the door with his favorite toy in his hand. He'd walk through the door and he would, and we're like, did you look in the mirror, Josiah? I don't know. You don't remember if you looked in the mirror? Well, no. Where's the gym? I mean, that's just how he is. That's just how he is. It's just, you know what? Hey, why bother me with these other things? Don't bother me with combs and changing my clothes when I first get up. Don't bother me with this. Life is too short. Let's just enjoy. You know, I could see him being like that as he gets older. If we don't, no, son, you've got to change it. No, son, you have to comb your hair. You have to do these things, okay? That's Josiah. Just easy come, easy go, you know? And it's not like it's not like he refuses. Some people refuse. I just didn't think about it. Just never thought of it. When you read this passage, are you one who refuses? Or are you one, I just didn't even think about it. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What a sad thing to look into the mirror of the word of God, and you know verses, you have a lot of knowledge. I'm a Christian school brat, okay? I grew up in Christian school. I got a lot of knowledge in my head. But as I found out as I got older, the knowledge did not connect down to my heart. And what a miserable person that is, let me tell you. A lot of facts. You know about Jesus, but do you really know Jesus that I may know him? And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Lord, I want to know you. James is pointing out that, can you believe somebody would just look in the mirror and turn away? And go, and move on? But people do that Sunday in and Sunday out in churches across America. They do that day in and day out at things they hear online through messages and so forth. They hear it, and it just maybe moves them a little bit or doesn't move them at all. Fact is, it says in verse number 26 there, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I mean, right here, it's saying the person you deceive the most is you. The person I deceive the most is me. We think we're deceiving everybody else, but the truth is oftentimes people are looking at you going, you're only deceiving yourself. You think I don't know? My children are very much acquainted with my ways. They're very much acquainted with their daddy's struggles. And I can sit and go, my children don't know, have a clue. Oh, they have a clue. They have some clue. They may not be able to parse all of it. They may not be able to connect all the dots entirely of where it's all coming from, but they know something's not right. They know something's not right. The fact is, the individual is deceived. Either there's no salvation or no testimony to draw others to Christ. And what a sad thing that you see Scripture and you don't get broken by it, but rather, and you move on. Don't waste time in front of the Word of God just going, closing it, walking out these doors, turning off the radio, stopping this, whatever the case may be, and just going, Ask God to help you to not, because why was Christ broken for you? Why was he broken for you? Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Love the turning of the pages of Scripture. That is no doubt a beautiful sound to God's ears. Luke chapter 4. And I want you to look down at verse number 17. This is dealing with Christ here. Christ speaking in just a moment. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." To what? "To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful that that's exactly what Christ's mission was. Handed down from his Father, that is exactly what the mission was, to come to preach the gospel to poor people, to those who are brokenhearted, to people who are captive in various addictions, they're trapped, who need physical help, who need to be set at liberty to serve God, who they've been injured by somebody or something. When we consider all those things, all those individuals are broken people. But that means you've got to come to a place of, am I broken? Now you can sit here and say that, well, I know I'm broken. No. I'm not just talking about giving a mental assent to, oh, I'm broken. Oh, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Yeah, we're all sinners. That's what the Bible says. All have sinned. No. God wants us to go deeper than that and really see ourselves for who we really, really, truly are. Perhaps you lack brokenness because you never have considered your sins to be really that bad, kind of as I'm already alluding to. You may think to yourself, sure, I'm a sinner, but I've never really done anything that bad. Well, I always find it interesting, what is that bad? I had teenagers that constantly, I would go, hey, that music, hey, Pastor Jamie, it's not that bad. Oh, Pastor, you gotta watch this movie. Oh, how's the movie? Oh, it's not that bad. I have found out that three different people's that bads are completely different. Whether it be music, entertainment, whatever, that bad all of a sudden becomes, who's the judge? I'm the judge. Well, what does God say about that very thing that you're saying is not that bad? When you get looking at, you don't need to turn there, but James chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." That's not a very popular verse. Nobody goes to James and go, I like that one. I want to be afflicted and mourn and weep. Yeah, that's the kind of life I want to live. My laughter? No more laughing. Time to cry. Nope. No more joy. Heaviness. That's what I want right there. Who's for that? Raise your hand. Nobody's going to go for that. You say, how in the world do you get to that place where you want what he's pointing out in verse number 9 of James? Well, that's why he gives you the formula there in the beginning of the verses there. In verse 7, submit yourselves. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Want to be right with God more than anything else in the world. You say, then I'll never laugh? People, you can look at me every day and laugh. Thank you. I mean, you can, God wants you to laugh. God wants you to enjoy life. But he said, far more than all that, I want you to walk with me. I want you to know me. And then you'll be able to enjoy life in a way that pleases me. And in the midst of a trial, after you get done crying, you'll be able to laugh. You'll be able to have joy. Been there, done that. And I'll be there again. But the only way you get to experience that is say, God, I want to be broken. I want there to be brokenness about me. Last of all, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. No doubt you probably, some of you have read this story before. You know this story. Maybe it's been a while since you've seen it, but Luke chapter 7. We've got Simon the Pharisee who's invited Christ into his house. Verse number, move down here, forgive me. We're going to move down to verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake, or you could say he thought within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him. It's almost like, ooh, does he realize what he's doing? Does he realize who this woman is? She's one of those sinners. Ew. What's he doing? And Jesus answering said unto him, I just love this. The omniscient God. He hears that thought in Simon. Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. Oh, after all, Master, say on. Yes, I'm listening. Of course, I'm very attentive. Like he's, you wonder if he's thinking, oh yeah, I'm good. Go ahead, Master, say on. I'm listening. I'm your pupil. Teach me. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, Simon, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see this woman right here? See thou this woman, I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, you know those things that you were just thinking about, Simon, which are many, forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Don't miss this. Imagine you be Simon. Imagine I be Simon, and Christ is talking to us. The woman was very much aware of her debt. And she came with brokenness. It's not that Simon didn't need to see his brokenness. Simon was very broken. But he wasn't looking to be fixed. He thought he's all good. That woman, right? Do you realize? And you can really say, Simon, do you know that God looks down, he sees that woman, and he sees you? And both of you are dead in your sins. Both of you are walking dead people. But now she has new life. Because she is willing to be honest with herself and knows she's unworthy, she's broken. Simon, you're missing it. Your love for Christ is going to be based upon how you truly see yourself. And as long as you see yourself as, well, I'm not as bad, quit as bad. It's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves, is what Paul said. What does Christ have to say about who I am? What does God have to say about my life and my sin? Christ said in Luke 5:31, you don't need to turn there, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Where are you at this morning? You may be saying, I'm praying and I'm going through a struggle right now, but I'm praying and I'm asking God to help me with my struggle. Okay? But I just feel like he's not there. Perhaps the struggle is not number one in your life of what he wants to deal with. If I go to the emergency room later today with a broken arm and somebody else comes in and I'm in a lot of pain and they come in having suffered a heart attack, we all in here would agree that it would be foolish of me. Whoa, 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 whoa. What are y'all doing over there? I got a problem. You can wait. I don't think so. I'm in a lot of pain. Sir, he's got, I don't care. I'm in a lot of pain. We would all say, what a jerk. Break his other arm. You know, God sees your eternal destiny as number one. He sees your walk with him as number two. All the physical, emotional, and other struggles we deal with, God says, that's easy. I can help you with that, endure through that, whatever. But it's all meant to bring you to a place of brokenness. It's all meant to bring you to a place of brokenness. No doubt, we're all sick with sin. But not everybody in here is sick of it. The only way you're going to experience what that woman experienced of forgiven is come broken before God. When was the last time you heard a message, you read the word, and your heart said, God, I don't have to be going through this. It can change if I'll simply put you number one and put my life number two and put others actually before even that. Lord, it doesn't mean you're going to remove the struggle. You may continue to allow me to deal with this struggle, just as Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, where I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ can rest upon me. God wants us broken. When was the last time you were broken? When you hear the word of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.